Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. Missouri Governor Jay Nixon heads into the final year of his administration with a long to-do list and a host of issues facing him. Among them, highways, ethics, and race relations. The governor's in town today to discuss business creation, but he's right here now in our studios. And Governor, welcome back.
So great to be here. Great to be back with you, Steve. Appreciate the opportunity.
Let's start with some good news, Governor. The state's unemployment rate is down to 4.7%. That's below the national rate of 5%. And the lowest reading in Missouri since 2006. Why?
Well, we've worked really hard. From day one, that's what our focus has been. When you look back at my first state of the state, I talked about five shared values. One of those is the value of a hard day's work, good day's work, paycheck. We have had a laser-like focus on that. I think it's paying off. I mean, we could go through why we've been able to make such success, but I think it's a broad, wide reason, one of which today we'll be announcing yet again, that Missouri is number one in the country in new business creation when 39 states created fewer businesses in that same year.
You know, the word on the jobless rate has always been that, hey, the number may mean one thing, but there's still a sense there's a lot of folks could still be out of work that don't show up in that number because they've been out looking for so long. What's the state, that status of that in Missouri right now?
Yeah, I mean, that's a problem with the statistics, but you just measure statistics to statistics. That same problem existed when we had 9.8% unemployment, and I'd just been elected. Now that we've cut it over in half, you're making progress. And that's the important thing, is to continue to make progress as governor until everybody that has a job, a career that they want, has it. You're not happy. So the number is just shows the rate with which you're moving forward, but it doesn't mean the job is over.
Governor Jay Nixon is my guest. You know, Governor, the other piece of good news this week, the high school graduation rate in Missouri is up to 87.3%. That puts Missouri in the top 10 nationally and well above the national average of about 82%. Is that news as good as it sounds?
Yeah, I mean, top 10 by 20 has been one of our long-term goals on all these metrics when it comes to our schools. We've worked with the state school board, local schools to work on that. And if kids aren't in the chair, they're not going to get the learning. So this is an important metric, moving to the top 10 in that, while we've got math scores going up, science scores going up, and the number of college graduates at an all-time high. These are good, solid indicators of continued progress.
So meaning that the focus around the state has been to get kids, get their backsides into the chairs in the classroom.
Absolutely. I was with a judge yesterday from my home county of Jefferson County talking about their truancy court that they've developed. So we got a lot of local strategies in which literally judges come to high schools, middle schools, and kids that have been skipping school have to come in front of that judge and make their case. So there's lots of different strategies at the local level that are making a difference, but communities have embraced, let's get kids to school, and it's paying off.
You know, a big issue coming up in the next session of the General Assembly is the state of the highway fund, Governor. It's so low that Missouri may not even qualify for federal matching funds the next couple of years. One proposal coming down the pike, and you know about this, is a call for a 2 cent a gallon increase in the gas tax. What do you think? Can you get on board with that?
Well, I think Senator Leibel has got both the increase of the diesel tax as well as the gas tax, small increase inside the Hancock amount, so we could do that
without a vote of the people.
I mean, it doesn't solve the whole problem, but it clearly takes a step in the right direction. And I'm hopeful that Senator Leibel's bill gets out of the Senate, gets over to the House, and we can see if we can get that bill to my desk. I think making a down payment on the future right now is extremely important, and I'm hopeful that with the new MoDOT director, who we're excited about, plus the fact that over the last 5 years, we've trimmed MoDOT by over 1,000 employees, 1,000 fewer employees, closed 2 district offices, closed county sheds. We've done the hard work to make sure it's a leaner organization. And now, with these additional dollars, they would go straight into highway improvements, and we need them.
And you can back this increase, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Okay. I mean, I look forward to working with Senator Leibel in the Senate. I've already had a number of discussions with folks. We've got to get to a step forward. I think it was interesting here in Kansas City, all former governors were here about 6 weeks ago.
Right.
And there was a question about something else. And John Ashcroft leaned forward and said to the answer to the question, you know, I could argue the most important thing I did when I was governor, Governor Ashcroft speaking, was the increase in the gas tax and the investment we've made in roads here in the state. And to hear, a strong conservative talk about how making these long-term investments is important, I think is yet another strong voice that's going to help us get it to the finish line this year.
You know, you've said, Governor, that an I-70 toll road is worth thinking about. The interstate, everyone says, needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. Are you ready to say anything more today about a toll road as you head into your last session as governor?
I do think that that's one of the options that you have there that ought to stay on the the table, because the level of investment you have to make there and the fact that over 80 cents of every dollar that would pay for it is from folks outside Missouri is a really efficient way for a cross-country road, as we've seen it done in Oklahoma and some other states. When you have people from out your side of your states using it, especially truckers, they'd be paying the most of the freight and would put us in a situation where we would be able to build something at a relatively low cost for Missourians.
Ultimately, do you think that's where we're going? There's all kinds of ideas about how to fund something like rebuilding I-70, but are tolls sort of just probably going to be in the mix going forward?
Maybe, but I think Missourians are pretty conservative about tolls. What's the old line? People want to make sure they can, for free, get their pickup truck with the gun rack that they can carry wherever they want with the gun right onto the roads. I mean, toll roads, some people have challenges with those. I think ultimately the most important philosophical question is one of the reasons why I was against the last tax increase. Traditionally, and I believe deeply, roads should be paid for as a user fee. The proposal was put on the ballot by the legislature saying that trucks wouldn't have to pay a penny, but folks that were in nursing homes that bought a Snickers would have to pay for roads. That's not fair. So I think some form of user fee is where we're going to head. I think the country is going to have a big discussion about this over the next 10 or 15 years as we move to more efficient vehicles, electric vehicles, hydrogen vehicles, because the gas tax isn't going to last forever.
How far are we from rebuilding I-70?
In money?
In time.
In time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar project.
I know it is.
I think you're going to have to build it in pieces. I mean, both east and west, you're already seeing what used to be kind of famous. You'd seem like when you're going to St. Louis, if you get to Warrenton, you felt like you were slow from Warrenton. Now here on this side of the state, out way past Independence, you know, if you come over those hills down there, you begin to slow down. I think that the people are going to demand it when they're sitting on the road and not getting home.
You know, one other big issue is ethics reform and improving the image of state government. This has been a priority of yours as well. Missouri, as has been said so many times, is the only state in the union that allows unlimited lobbyist gifts and unlimited campaign donations. I'm wondering, what are the prospects for reform this year? And I should tell you that just yesterday, Senate President Pro Tem Ron Richard told me that he's willing to discuss a cap on campaign donations, which Republicans have traditionally resisted. Where are we going here?
Well, first of all, it's good that it's on the radar screen as a top-level priority. Both the Speaker and the Pro Tem are talking about this as a priority. And I think last year, especially the last few weeks of the session, crystallized. And now we're in an election year where $500,000 checks are flying all over the place. The bottom line is I think that there are five or six things that can be done. I've been working with the legislature to try to get some of these done. I'm hopeful the campaign finance is one of those. Limits, I think, are a good thing, the appropriate limits. I mean, I went to the U.S. Supreme Court and argued for them. Missourians passed it with 70% on the ballot.
Yeah.
But that's not the only thing that needs to be done. So as we approach the session, I'm going to get even more specific. And as we lay out in the state of the state, we'll lay out what I think is the way we ought to go. But I don't want to use only the perfect as an excuse for them to do nothing again.
I was going to say, if you get a bill that doesn't include a cap on donation limits, could you still get behind it?
Well, I mean, at the beginning of the process, I like for them to aim high.
Yeah.
I mean, if we get to the very end of the process, if we have things that make progress, though, as governor, I don't think I'm going to stop those. But what I want to do, I mean, you and I had a lot of discussion about those 10 or 12 years ago when Charlie Shields passed a bill that I thought was not good enough. And consequently, here we are today. But he's now president of the state school board, appointed by me, and you got your radio show. But
things
anyway,
change.
Yeah, things change, whatever. Or if they stay the same, either way. I'm not trying to disparage former Senator Shields, who's a great public servant. The point is that we need to get something done. When I talked about the five values we shared as Missourians on my first day of the state, the fifth of those was ethics. And mm-hmm. So far, we haven't delivered much, and I've only got 390 days left to go. It's right up there on top of the list.
You get the sense that the momentum behind that issue has never been greater than it is now. You get a sense that if you don't get it done this session, you'll never get it done.
Right. I actually believe election years are the good year to get it done. Mm-hmm. I think if you can keep these issues in front of the public while people are running for office and folks are talking about it to them back in their district as they're thinking about filing or somebody's filing against them, it actually puts accelerant to getting it done. So I think an election year is a good year to get that done, and that's why we're going to press real hard.
You know, you had pledged in one of your State of the State messages, Governor, that you were going to lead a petition campaign to get this done. It didn't happen. Why not?
I mean, a lot of things take your time. in this job and getting on the phone and raising $1 million, which is about what it takes to get something on the ballot. When it comes to comparing that to the other things that I had to do, just fell to the side of the top 10 things I had to do with my time. Sometimes in this job, you're able to define your schedule. Sometimes it kind of defines you.
Mm-hmm.
2011, we had tornadoes. You know, last year we had the issues in Ferguson. Sometimes you don't. And the bottom line is, in order to live up to what I wanted to do there, I would have had to go to a call room and call all over the place to raise a whole bunch of money and do that. And I just thought, with the limited time I have left as governor, I want to push the legislature to do the right thing. That's an easier way to do it. And making it an issue in which everybody in Missouri sees this year during a campaign year, I think is a method I've chosen.
Missouri Governor Jay Nixon is my guest. He's in town today to do some work on business creation. Governor, have you given up on Medicaid reform? That's part of the Affordable Care Act and expanding healthcare for folks who don't have a lot of money. Where are we there?
I mean, it's stunning that we're turning down $2 billion a year in taxes that Missourians pay, and we're missing a great opportunity to improve our healthcare system. Now, with basically 30 states going forward, multiple Republican governors and Republican states moving forward, for whatever reason, this has been a political impossibility in Missouri, not a fiscal or a healthcare impossibility. We're going to continue to push. It's the right thing to do. But I'm not getting from the speaker or the pro tem or the leaders of the various committees that they're ready to make that big jump.
I was going to say, we have new leadership in both the House and the Senate. Does that portend new optimism for this issue, or maybe not? You're saying maybe not.
I don't think that this brings new optimism in an election year, especially a presidential election year where it's been named after a president that none of them voted for, and they don't have a lot of good things to say about. So my sense is we're going to continue to push, but I'm not going to. I think it is interesting to look at what we've done without that passing. I mean, we're going to go over and just really soon here, over 100,000 kids we've added to the healthcare rolls of the state by doing the job well from the executive branch. We've got over 3,500 families that are involved in things like Partnership for Hope. We've got almost 3,000 kids that are now getting autism ABA treatment. There's a lot you can do in the executive branch that doesn't require the legislature to pass a bill. You got to just run the government right. And I think when you look at what we've been able to deliver on health care, our developmental disability wait list has gone from 6 to 7 years down to zero. The bottom line is, I'll be focused. If we could expand Medicaid, that would be good. But that's not going to stop me from focusing on health care, mental health issues, developmental disability, and other issues.
You know, you've got about a year left in your administration. I'm wondering, are you beginning to look forward to the end, or are you dreading it?
I started about 60 days ago on my memos of each one of my things I do each day, putting how many days we have left. Not because I was looking forward to it ending, but I want to make sure our team is aggressive to the very finish. So every project we're working on, today is 390, I should note. So we've only got, tomorrow we only have 389 days to get things done. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that we are intense to the finish. Only three other people in Missouri history have had the great honor I've had of serving consecutive terms as governor. It's very rare air. And I'm not going to waste a minute of it. And the people that have given me the chance to do this, they're going to be rest well assured that to the very last second of the game, I'm going to be given a full effort.
What has to happen, Governor, before you leave office, of the issues that are out there, of the ones we haven't talked about, what has to happen for you to be satisfied with the two terms you've had in office?
We need to get the tuition freeze at higher education this year. That $55.7 million that I've agreed to with the higher education folks, that we could get a trade that they would freeze tuition again, would keep Missouri number one in the country in tuition increases over my 8 years. That's a great place to be. We need to continue to expand and improve the school districts that are improving. Very proud this year that we had five school districts come off that warning list and to full accreditation for places like down in Charleston, or not Charleston, I mean down in a Boot Heel.
Right.
And we've done a lot to turn around school districts like Riverview Gardens. St. Louis and Kansas City are making progress that they weren't making. So I think keeping our eye on the ball in K-12 to make sure we're getting progress in those areas, as opposed to kind of these quick fixes, political things. I've had to veto two bills in education and sustained both those vetoes in the last 2 years, and instead stuck with what's working, which is higher standards under MSIP 5, supporting teachers, recruiting folks to do the work, and then making sure we're putting dollars in there. Even though we've had to cut a lot of other things, we have 5,000 fewer employees at the state of Missouri than when I became governor. $1.5 billion less in base budget. But this year, The budget I introduce is going to have record funding for K-12 and record funding for higher education. That's what we want to do, is focus our priorities and continue to make sure that the best economic development tool we have, education, is funded and supported.
You know, Governor, you're still a baby. You're just 59 years old, and I'm wondering, do you have another race in you? Do you want to continue in public service? And I can't help but note that there's an opening at the top of the University of Missouri system right now.
I don't have the capacity for that level of politics. I mean, you're
that's beyond where you are.
That's
right
beyond
now.
My level
as
of expertise.
Someone who works in that area now, I can attest to that. Yes,
Going after, I'll take the Missouri Senate over a faculty senate any day. Okay, any day. Okay,
I don't.
I don't need guys with PhDs that know more about their own stuff. At least with the Senate and 30 years experience, I generally know as much, if not a heck of a lot more, than most of the people I'm talking to in the legislature. But no, I don't see. Dipping. If I were to get back in politics, it certainly wouldn't be in a college campus, I don't think. I want them. I'm working with the curators now. We have big decisions to make, a new president, new chancellor at Mizzou. I think these are important decisions, hugely important. And I want to work with them to make sure we're attracting somebody that'll last a long time and be a great, great leader.
You know, what did you think of the Mizzou football team threatening to go on strike while we're talking about the University of Missouri, you know, in protest of the actions of Tim Wolf, who was then the system president? Was that appropriate or was it not?
It seemed like they went on strike the second half of the Kentucky game to me, but that's way earlier in the season. But it was a hard season to watch on the offensive side. You know, they've got First Amendment rights. Whether it's right or wrong is up to people to – I mean, it seems kind of odd for a football team to go on strike, but you can see why the coach stands with his team. There were a whole lot of other issues. That took a series of issues and put them on the sports page and the front page of papers all across the country. But I'm not one that thinks that you should wipe out the First Amendment rights of somebody just because they're a student athlete. Mm-hmm. If they want to say something, they should be able to say it. It's America, for gosh sakes, especially on a college campus. Whether you agree with them or not, I mean.
A couple lawmakers on the Republican side were arguing this week that, hey, there was sort of a contractual relationship there. They had scholarships. They had no business going out on strike.
Yeah, it's.
They withdrew the bill, by the way. But
yeah,
that
it took them one day before they realized the First Amendment trumps their headline-grabbing tendencies. I guess they should feel the same way for people on music scholarships. They should be really, really quiet, too. And political science scholarships or economics or whatever, that if they get those scholarships, they should. I mean, my golly, the A-plus scholarship we have is for every high school in the state. Does that mean if we give them community college tuition that they have to shut up for 2 years and not have opinions? I thought college was about people sharing opinions. I thought that was a place that we were supposed to welcome a diversity of opinions. And these people trying to shut down a diversity of opinions is wrongheaded.
You know, race relations have become a dominant issue in the last 15 or months or so in the state, as you just noted. I'm wondering what you think needs to happen next, Governor. I'm also wondering how you would describe the magnitude of this issue across the state right now.
Well, I mean, first of all, what happened at the university, what happened at Ferguson, there's a whole generation that's wondering what their future is, and African-Americans and others, and they're nervous, and they want to be like their forebears were, pioneers at making sure we get to equality. And I want Missouri to be a leader, because as you look forward, that's why when the stuff happened after Ferguson, instead of just putting our head in the sand and not doing anything, I appointed a commission. We redid the municipal court laws. We've redone the post commission for new rules for police officers for training. We're embracing the challenges here as a state and not backing away from them, because I don't want to risk people thinking that Missouri is a place that's unwilling to talk about diversity, an unwillingness to be on the cutting edge and the thoughtful edge of having a diverse workforce.
Is the state racist? Are too many elements in this state still plagued with racism, too many pockets of the state plagued with that issue?
I mean, all across the country, people divide by a lot of things. Race is one of them. I'd like to believe that we're making progress, and I know we are on a lot of things. Are we to the finish line? No, but I don't think this state is unique. I mean, you go to a lot of states, and there's still challenges out there. I'm just glad that these young folks have had the courage to stand up and force everybody to be better.
What steps are being taken right now in the state when it comes to training police, Governor, and how to de-escalate potentially violent situations and deal with people of other races? What's happening?
This is really fascinating. I mean, I appointed a new post commission.
Yes, you did.
And I gave them the responsibility to come up with broader set of rules and more training for cops. They've added 24 hours of training to it. We had a very diverse group of people on it, including Emmanuel Cleaver III and Captain Ron Johnson and others. And I think the proposal they've come forward with is very thought-provoking. Not only does it deal with de-escalation, it also deals with a number of mental health issues as well as mental health issues for cops. So I think as that rule makes it through the process and as we certify those new courses, Missouri's got a chance to be a real leader in the country.
Is that something that you can do, or does it need legislative approval?
What we've done is through the executive branch, mm-hmm. the Department of Public Safety has in it Police Officers and Standing Training Commission. I ask them to look at the rules we have, come up with new ones. The way that works is they've promulgated a rule now that will then go to Joint Committee on Administrative Rules, but it's a rule, and the legislature can reject it, although the power for them to do that is something that's not for a boring hour, we can go through that on one of the nighttime crew. But the bottom line is the rule is a rule. It's moving forward, and I expect it to be finalized and in good form by mid-spring.
You know, along the same lines, has the legislature done enough to improve the working environment for women after all the revelations of sexual harassment that have plagued the General Assembly this year?
Well, we'll see. They certainly got the message, and when folks like Wendy Doyle and the Women's Foundation are involved in writing a new rules, it makes you feel like there may be a path forward. And I'm glad they didn't just scrap the internship programs, because I think it's important for college students to be around the legislature and see what it's like. So I think that Speaker Richardson understood the seriousness of it. And I think that, they had some bumps as they went through there. I don't think, one of the guys was not him, but some of the folks are talking about a dress code and all that sort of malarkey. I think they actually got to what is a step forward. And like I said, when they reached out to groups like the Women's Foundation, that's a good sign to help us write these rules and the schools. So I'm hopeful that it'll be better this year. But we'll see.
Governor Jay Nixon is my guest for the final 2 minutes of our time here. Should the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Columbia, Governor, have had its doctor's privileges revoked by the University of Missouri Hospital? Did GOP lawmakers unfairly target Planned Parenthood, in your view?
Well, I mean, I think they should make their decisions based on what the law is. And the law said that if they were going to have procedures there, they needed a hospital. So I think they did back down a little bit. I'm not sure that's going to be handled locally at the university level. I don't micromanage the university; it's separately constitutionally empowered. But you do get concerned about the politicization of people's individual rights.
You know, a question about the St. Louis football stadium: are we going to keep the Rams in St. Louis? Are we going to keep them in Missouri, Governor?
You know, I as I was coming in here, I thought you might ask this, we saw with the Royals this year what a team can do for an area.
And yes,
with
we did.
Hundreds of thousands of people out there at the parade and all that sort of stuff, and with national, international attention here, these sports teams focus, folks. And the way that we have come forward with this proposal, which we won't do unless we have a long-term lease. That's the other thing. We're not going to build this stadium and hope a team stays or comes to St. Louis. But the site people should look at. That riverfront has been very vexing for St. Louis. The opportunity in a very cost-effective way, not raising taxes, $600 million private investment, to redo that riverfront and keep St. Louis an NFL city is an opportunity that I think we need to all work for to move forward on.
A lot of lawmakers are frustrated that you haven't given them a voice in this process.
Last year, the voice was last year on January 9th. I had the task force put together the proposal and lay it out. And during the last session, there were 16 separate committee hearings in which they asked about the stadium proposal. So they just they weren't able to stop it. Because they knew we had to move forward, and I'm sure they'll bark again a little more. And I'll look forward to once they get back in town in a few weeks to embracing those. But we all wait for the 12th and 13th of January when the NFL is going to actually vote on what's going to happen. And if they vote that the Rams could move, we won't do any. We're not going to build a stadium without a team. But if they say they're going to stay, and we get negotiations, and we can get a long term lease with the Rams, we have shown through our independent economic analysis that it's an economic benefit, not only for St. Louis, but for the state. And I think once we show that to folks, they'll be fine.
Governor, a final point. A lot of Republicans want your job. What do you make of the scrum on the GOP side when it comes to folks going after your job?
It's a good job. I mean, I can see why there's a demand for it.
You enjoying
it.
Watching this whole thing?
Yeah, it's, I have been watching a little bit. I hope they get to specifics. And I think they've got to differentiate between each other pretty quickly. If they don't, I mean, then you can see the race. I just hope they're not afraid to disagree with each other. I mean, the old Ronald Reagan thing, you can't ever say a bad thing about another Republican. I don't know. We Democrats don't have that rule. We say bad things about each other all the time. But I hope that they begin to engage each other in how they disagree, because I think that's a better electoral process. But I like our candidate. I think our candidate has a great, solid resume, and it's going to be fine all the way through November.
That's Attorney General Chris Koster. Governor, what a pleasure to have you here. Thanks for taking the time, and enjoy your time in Kansas City.
Absolutely. Thanks, Steve.